The Holy Gospel is written in the second chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning at the first verse. Glory to you, Lord Christ. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Jerusalem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road, the gospel. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I remember as a kid singing the song, "We three kings of Orient are, tried to smoke a loaded cigar. It exploded," you know, and then it goes on and on. And as "we two kings of Orient are, tried to smoke a loaded cigar." And then the third, "I one king of Orient are, tried to smoke a loaded cigar." And then you close with "God rest ye merry gentlemen," or "Silent night." But, okay, well, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about, in the Old Testament lesson, all the camels laying on us. I found that kind of strange. Didn't quite understand what that meant. But I do want to talk about the subject matter maybe a little differently than we normally consider it. You know, the wise men on a very long journey searching to find the Christ child, they present a picture for me of all humanity being on the search for meaning, for a search for a greater sense of fulfillment, and for a new way of life which is in touch with the very essence of life itself. For why would these wise men of Scripture take a long and treacherous journey if it was not to find evidence of a new way of life that was possible in a violent and uncertain world? A new kind of king meant new possibilities for life itself. Well, people for centuries have searched for newness of life in the midst of difficult circumstances. Certainly, some of the greatest spiritual insight of the past have come from the searching of such people as the prophets of Israel, Confucius, Buddha, the mystics of the Upanishads, along with the way of life experienced and exhibited by Jesus Christ. Well, people today continue on this long search for newness of life and meaning. And this search can take many forms. For example, a lot of people look for a new life in the bookstores. Now, I'm a big book fan, as you know, and I love bookstores. Well, there's always a prolific number of books that offer advice on the art of living. They are big sellers. Well, a few years ago, there was an article in the Seattle Times newspaper written by Eric Lacetus, And the article summarized the advice books that were appearing on bookstore shelves in great abundance. He said this, he said, the little secret about most of these advice bestsellers is that they can be summarized into a few lines of self-evident truisms. But since consumers won't pay $25 for a two-paragraph manuscript, these truisms have to be strung out over at least 200 pages. And he goes on to give a smattering of some wisdom that he gleaned after spending $2,785 worth of on advice books. And these are some of the things he came up with. Life rewards action. Life is managed. It's not cured. You get what you give. The future is an open book. When you feel good about yourself and your body image, you feel sexier. In order to have your best year yet, take responsibility to what's happened to you so far. Take time for yourself. Know your limits. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. All you have is all you need. The possibilities are unlimited as long as you're true to your life's purpose. Simplify the journey to having your dream. Don't complicate it. In the journey of life, it takes immense spiritual courage to acknowledge just how simple joys in life can be. Well, there you have it. $2,800 worth of advice, all in a few lines. The reason that writing these kind of books brings in lots of money is that people continue to search for more and more answers. And of course, the journey's a long one. While other people are searching for a new life in their possessions and all the technological gadgets that are available today. You know, there are many faceted cell phones and tablets. I can only use maybe 10% of what my cell phone can do. They're more powerful computers. They're humongous TV screens or smart TVs. And of course, let's not forget the latest fashions. These devices and articles do bring a certain amount of satisfaction, but the problem is there's always something more that you need. You never have enough. And the desire for a greater sense of fulfillment never ends. And then, of course, there's those people who search for the new life in luck and almost magical ways. I ran across a humorous story told by a United Methodist pastor here in Texas. The story is about a guy who basically was burned out, and he longs for a new and exciting spark in his life. And it wasn't that he was unhappy. He loved his wife, he loved his kids, he had a good job. It's just that life wasn't very exciting anymore. And one day while walking out of work, he was pondering all of this when all of a sudden he heard this small little voice say, "John, go to Las Vegas." And after a week of hearing this little voice say, "John, go to Las Vegas," he told his wife about it. And of course, she laughed. But then she realized he was serious. John and his wife decided that it had to be some kind of an omen. And so they packed their bags and they headed off to Las Vegas. They had no clue as to what to do when they got there. And then that little voice said, "John, go to Caesar's Palace." And so they went to Caesar's Palace, and then the little voice said, "John, go to the roulette table." And then the little voice said, "Bet $1,000 on black 22. And they did. And as the wheel spun around, they watched in fascination as it turned and turned and then landed on black 22. Twice more, the little voice led them to winning numbers. And then the little voice got really excited and said, "John, bet everything on red 13. And so John consulted with his wife, and they placed their entire life's savings on red 13. The wheel spun. Everyone watched with excited anticipation as the wheel turned and turned and turned and landed on black 34. And the little voice said, "Oops." Well, like John and his wife, when we search for the abundant life in that way, our luck often runs out. Well, I could talk about many other ways that people are involved in a search for new life. And many of them seem to end up the same way, with a constant sense of dissatisfaction and disillusionment. They are still left with a burning desire for something more. But here's the key. This is the one part. This is the takeaway. The search for true meaning, the search for fulfillment, the search for a new way of life in touch with the essence of life itself has to be an inward journey. It cannot come by someone else or something else giving it to us. Although we can receive help and guidance from others along the way. However, in essence, it is our journey and ours alone. On that inner journey, we realize that it is not just the destination that is important, but it is the journey itself that brings meaning, that brings fulfillment and new behaviors which result in new and meaningful life. The great sages of the past all came to the realization that true meaning in their life was to give up self for a greater good, to connect with the ground of all being, to be centered in love, and to live compassionately in the world. Basically, this is what those on the long search, like the wise men, have found in Jesus Christ. I believe that in our inner search, we will also discover the same thing in our own way. That our true meaning as human beings is found in the continual giving up of self for the larger concerns of humanity. That newness of life that is found in being in constant touch with that spirit from which all life flows, that our lives will be involved in an ever-increasing understanding of love and a larger capacity for that love. I am certain that as this happens, we will also find ourselves becoming aware of the ever-expanding opportunities for compassion. You and I share the long journey in search of our true home. The destination is important, but the journey itself is essential and extremely significant. Sometimes people are so focused on the destination that they miss a whole lot of wonderful happenings and life-changing events along the way. Hopefully, as you and I move more deeply into our inner life, we will be more intimately involved with the spirit of life. And we will be moved with ever-increasing compassion. I am expectant that we will continue our journey into the new year before us in another way than the way in which we began, much like the wise men after seeing the Christ child return to their home by another road. Amen.